Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Kind of uneventful.
You're very mellow.
I'm mellow. You know what it is, Lee? I am 3 weeks without caffeine.
No, it's more than that.
Can you believe that? Well, maybe it's 4 weeks, actually.
I think it's four.
4 weeks yesterday, then. 1 month, caffeine-free.
Wow.
Sleeping like a baby.
The whole edge is off your life now, isn't it?
Exactly.
The natural high. You're living a natural high.
Always living a natural high when I come to the Atlanta Business Radio Show and I see you. Anything new with you?
No, just the usual fun and games for me.
I got a couple of emails regarding your comments on the zoo.
My comments on the zoo?
Yeah, last week you commented on the zoo.
Yes, about going in the rain.
Exactly. And a couple of people said, yes, the Atlanta Zoo is definitely a gem in the area.
Yes,
and people need to visit it more often.
Good tip.
Yeah, I'm on my way to Whitewater soon. I haven't been.
That's fun.
Yeah, should be a great time. Well, you know, it's almost our one-year anniversary, and there are very few things that excite me as much as Kenny Rogers.
And one-year anniversaries?
And one-year anniversaries. I think we need to get Kenny on here.
Well, let's go. The pressure's on. You've been saying it for a year now.
I know. Coming up.
Coming up.
Again, talking about some things that I'm passionate about, healthcare being one of them, as you know, and wellness and fitness. First up this morning, we have Mary Moak from the Physicians Interleague. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Mary.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
So, Mary, tell us a little bit about the Physician Interlink.
We work with physician practices to try to help them simplify the business and technology side of healthcare. And we do that by hosting IT and providing outsourced business office so that they can focus on the clinical side of medicine, which is where their expertise is.
What got you interested in it?
Well, actually, it wasn't me. It was my husband, who was a practicing physician, who realized that if his business manager quit with the requisite 2 weeks' notice, he was going to be out of business. Mm-hmm. So he started this company in 99 to help himself and other physicians, and we've grown from there.
So you've been in business since 1999?
We have.
What kind of changes have you seen in the industry?
Just the business side has gotten more and more complicated with all the permutations of managed care plans that are out there, and just it really has hit a level where it's very difficult, particularly for small organizations, small medical practices, and most doctors practice in small practices, to deal with.
What's a misconception that a doctor has when they, you know, say, hey, I'm going to go out on my own and have a practice? Like, do they even think of this aspect of their business?
Well, I think they do more now because medical schools are offering courses on the business side of healthcare, and I think that's very helpful. But what most people don't realize is that if you go out and hang up your shingle, you've got to get a source of patients. Mm-hmm. It's not just hanging up shingle because healthcare today is pretty much paid for by insurance. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have access to the plans and then the ability to deal with the plans.
Meaning all the coding and the various things that go along with that?
Every bit of that. Coding, referrals, pre-certs, a complex business system to send claims. Many of the providers require that claims be electronic now. There's just the level of complexity has just gone crazy.
Is that something that in the medical schools they don't prepare the doctor for?
No, they really haven't. And honestly, it could be a whole nother career path, mm-hmm. a whole nother degree program at this point.
Which you've kind of taken it to that level, it sounds like.
Well, I have. My background is financial. I was with Arthur Andersen for 21 years and I'm a CPA and really enjoy the business side of healthcare. I worked with the healthcare consulting group as their marketing person, so I've sort of seen it evolve.
So do you see that the single physician, the general family practitioner, are they going to be able to survive in the market? I know there's a lot of controversy that managed care is driving down the reimbursement so much that it really changes the way they have to practice medicine in their profit margin.
Well, I think that everybody has to be as efficient as humanly possible, and I think it is hard for the solo practitioner, but I will tell you, his cost structure generally is lower than the larger organizations, and that does help him. If he can just figure out how to deal with the technology and the business side of it, which we can help with, then, you know, I think actually he is well positioned.
Mm-hmm. Especially using someone like yourself. It sounds like you provide services that would really encompass that of five or six employees.
Our slogan has sort of been that we try to give small practices the same resources that a 100-man group would have.
Wow, through billing and technology, as you spoke of.
Exactly.
How do you see that technology has changed or helped your business?
Well, I think anything that you can automate gets better. Mm-hmm. And when we first started, although we could send claims, we couldn't post payments in an automated fashion. And now 40% of the payments that we post are posted automatically. And we're just dealing with the problems, which is really what you want to do. You don't want to look at the stuff that's okay. You want to deal with the stuff that's not okay. And mm-hmm. and that's made a big difference. Also, imaging technology has really helped us. Everything, all of our paper is now in image format, so it's easily searchable, easily retrievable. That's made a huge difference.
Do you see with the upcoming election going to impact healthcare in any way that your company will be able to deal with?
You know, that's a tough question. I think for anybody, any politician to try to change the healthcare marketplace in America will be huge. And I honestly don't know the answer to that question. I think we need payment reform in a major sort of way, but I'm not sure as a country and with the politicians in Washington if anybody's got what it takes to really do it, because it's highly complex.
And what do you see as far as the uninsured? Are you seeing a lot of uninsured in medical practices that you're working with?
We see them more in the rural communities mm-hmm. than we see them in the Atlanta marketplace. But yes, we do, and obviously it's a huge problem. Health insurance really has gone from being insurance to being a payment mechanism for health care, and people have to have it. And we've got to figure out how to insure these 47 million people, mm-hmm. whether it's a private-public partnership or whatever. We've got to get people insured. And my feeling is until everybody has a payment mechanism from somewhere, I don't think it makes sense to tackle any of the other issues.
No, I think you're correct, definitely. So when you work with a client, you go in and consult and see what their needs are first. How do you generally start with somebody?
We go in and we learn everything we can about the practice. We look at their patient flow, their paper flow, their systems, the type of people they have working there. And we don't do a cookie-cutter approach. We have a system that we can offer them access to, and we can build their databases, their scheduling modules, anything they need. Or if they've got a fairly new system they're happy with, we can work on that in a remote fashion. So we really look at what the practice needs and try to help them in a way that makes sense for them.
Are there common areas that most practices need? Like, do they have?
All small practices need structure. That would be, if there's one thing that they're lacking, it's sort of a business structure, and we bring that in for them and help them operate in an efficient and effective way and help them try to get everything right on the front end. I know everybody's been to the doctor and had a claim that wasn't paid, and we all know how much fun that is. You know, we try to help them get it right on the front end so those claims go through and get paid, because it's good for the doctor. Well, it's also good for the patient.
Mm-hmm. And then the patient isn't calling back in and tying up the line and tying up an employee's time.
Right.
To follow up with that. You say you do a lot of this remotely. Can you explain that?
Well, we use VPNs, basically, and we can work from anywhere that, where there's the Internet. And so that enables us to put a core group of resources together and enables us to work more effectively with practices. It also gives doctors remote access to their systems, which is nice, because mm-hmm. sometimes you're just too busy during the day to deal with things. And if you could just log in the evening when you're sitting at home, and particularly if you're using the EMR product that we offer, you know, and you didn't get through signing your notes and you didn't get through, you can finish at night.
Now, you said the EMR product that you offer, is it proprietary or is it something you team up with?
No, we work with one of the major companies in the marketplace and offer their billing and EMR system.
So they're one and the same. They're mm-hmm. okay.
Do you have any success stories that you can share, like maybe a doctor's office?
We do. We have figured out on average that we enable practices in primary care to collect 20% more in the first year than they were able to before we started working with them. But I think our major success story was one of the first practices we worked with in 1999. If you can believe, they were doing all this work on paper. We came in and automated the billing side and also automated the accounting side and doubled the doctor's income in a market that is Medicare, Medicaid, and no insurance. So,
Wow. You
know, and that was just not changing anything about what the doctors did. It was just basically putting good, solid business practices in place.
Just making him more efficient so he can focus more on what he does.
Absolutely. You know, not losing charges, getting things done in a timely manner, you know, renegotiating all the expense contracts, looking at the employees. Just sort of a total restructuring.
That's great. So you can basically take the best practices that you gain from one practice and take them to the next.
Yes.
What value that you can offer? Do you have a specialty type of physician, or is it just physicians across the board?
We generally have worked with primary care. We've done one surgical specialist and some internal medicine subspecialists, but generally, the putting it all together and the business concepts flow across practices. There are some things you would have to learn if you were doing, say, oncology or orthopedics. But in general, the principles are the same.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's about reimbursement and coding things properly and keeping your employees in line and proper patient flow.
That's it.
I think I mentioned to you, Lee, that the last time I went to the physician, when I checked out, they have a patient advocacy specialist. I mean, what is that? Just to make sure that the claims go through and that, I mean, I'm taking care of it. That, I would have never thought that that would be the case 10 years ago.
And, you know, actually, we end up doing that for our clients, because if there's a patient, if there's a claim that's a problem claim, we will get on the phone with the patient and the insurance company, you know, to try to help get that claim paid. People need to get their claims paid.
Yeah, they do. They really do. Because when they get too old, then they're not able to be paid, correct?
That is correct.
Wonderful. Well, Mary, thank you so much for sharing with us today. If physicians or offices want to reach out and obtain information about your services, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can log on to our website, which is www.physicianinterlink.com. There's a link there. They can email me at mmoak@physicianinterlink.com, or they can call us at 404-351-5914.
Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. We hope that physician practices and anyone out there in the medical industry will really reach out and check out your services. You have a lot of experience to bring to the marketplace, and we appreciate you sharing with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Luke, and Luke looks like he must be very fit. He must spend a lot of time working out. He's a personal fitness and motivational professional, and Luke, we'd like for you to share with us a little bit about your business. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Well, Amy, Lee, thank you for having me. It's an honor for me to be here. I started my business about 2 years ago, and my background is usually professional judo competitor. Throughout my 15 years career in the sport and fitness industry, I have devoted myself into the challenge of psychological, physical, spiritual, and emotional improvement. My passion for a healthy lifestyle led me to start thinking about doing something more for others and becoming a fitness coach.
You started as a, you were trying to make the Olympics, is that right?
That's right.
So can you share what that was like, training at that level? It's compared to, you know, I'm sure you train some moms now, so it's a different different kind of intensity, but still passionate people trying to achieve a goal. Can you talk about that, you know, training for the Olympics? It's near the Olympics now.
Sure, I'd love to. Well, every time when Olympics approach, a lot of things happens in my heart and in my soul. It is a lot of commitment. It's a lot of challenges that you need to be ready to go through. Everything starts with a big why. What I find out with my own experience through life is big why. You know, doesn't matter what, everything starts from big why. And when you want to accomplish something in life and you know why you want to accomplish that, there is nothing that can stop you.
So what was your big why? Why did you want to be a judo champion?
Well, Way back in Bulgaria, I had a lot of challenges. Me and a lot of people, a lot of boys that were trying to beat me up. So I needed to really start taking control of my own destiny and my security. So I thought that could be something helpful.
So there were bullies, that what you're saying? People, kids were picking on you?
That's right.
That's definitely a good motivation. That would be a good reason why. What makes you a little bit different than other fitness professionals?
I can say different experience with a true passion to make a difference in people's lives through fitness, healthy lifestyle, and personal excellence.
I know there's a lot of personal fitness trainers and people in the industry out there that are not properly certified. Can you speak to that?
Well, what I have to say is that from where I'm coming from, experience is very important. But at the same time, when I came here in this country in 1999, I understood that experience is very important, but at the same time, it is important to go through the proper qualifications so you can really create a better credential.
It looks like you've got a lot of credentials, too. That's why I asked you about it. You've got a lot of training and a lot of background. It sure does beat the person at, you know, your local gym that's had a one-weekend course on personal training. You obviously know what you're doing.
What are some of the challenges that your clients face, and then how do you help them overcome them?
Well, the challenges that my clients most of the time face is lack of motivation. When I play judo, it's a little different approach than here.
Right.
If you're late, you're late, and you have to
You're
going to
pay a price.
That's
for
right.
That, right.
And
people don't like to suffer here. We're not good at suffering.
But once I discovered the important aspect of becoming successful, it's the why and the motivation. And if you do something, don't just do it because you want to do it. Just do it with passion. Put commitment to it. And when once you put that commitment into it, it pays off. And most of the time, my clients that I admire so much, meaning they have done a great job, is because they put in the commitment. They had the big why, and I was just a little too. I can't take the whole credential, mm-hmm. all the credentials,
credit,
the
right.
credit for what they have accomplished, but I was just a little too. That was right on time, at the right place.
What are your clients mostly women? Are they corporate executives? Who do you?
I do work with a lot of corporate executives, a lot of business owners, entrepreneur people that don't have the time to go to gyms. Mm-hmm. Now, don't understand me wrong. People can accomplish goals in gym environment and at their home. The question is where they feel comfortable,
mm-hmm.
where they are feel less intimidated to do that. And when I work with, very busy people, I find out that they want to stay home. They just way too much away from their family, and they
right.
want to be at home.
More time with their
That's
family.
Right.
So you have to incorporate a workout regimen that includes her family sometimes?
That's right. As a matter of fact, there's a good example. Sarah and Brian Kindlands, lovely couples. I did work with both of them, and they accomplished great results. And that was a great motivation for each other because they had been doing this for their children.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to be there longer for their children. And just the lack of motivation was something, and the time, of course, was something that did not allow them to focus more on what is really important, and this is their most important priority, their health, so
exactly.
they can be there longer for their children.
I think a lot of times people look at personal trainers and at fitness as looking good and looking fit, but there's so much more to that, especially when you talk about the elements of wellness and overall wellness. I know a lot of corporations are incorporating wellness as part of their plans for their employees because healthy employees are more productive and it decreases their insurance premiums and a whole bunch of other things. I noticed on your website the five elements of wellness, and it really grabbed me. Can you talk a little bit about those five elements?
Well, usually I'm not trying to reinvade the wheel. The wheel is there, but I did understand that there is a lack of information. And I decided to incorporate my training around these five elements of wellness that I strongly believe that are a very important factor for people to really enjoy a healthy lifestyle. And they're such as flexibility, a very important component of fitness and critical factor in achieving peak physical potential, also avoiding a lot of potential injuries. Nutrients, they work together to supply the body with energy and structural materials, and to regulate regulate the growth, the maintenance, and the repair of the body tissues. Another component element of my concept is cardio fitness, very essential component for improving cardio health, cardiovascular health, in both primary and secondary prevention, and muscular strength. Every movement we make involves our muscular system. Muscles are unique in their ability to relax, contract, and produce force. As a matter of fact, as long as you're creating strong, lean muscles in your body, that also helps your metabolism as well. So you have always high metabolism, and from there, something that works towards your body in a good way. And the fifth element is environmental awareness. We do live in a toxic world. A condition that takes a heavy toll on our bodies every day, whatever, whether we know it or not, or maybe lack the information that's out there to understand that if your body is exposed to chemicals on a daily basis, doesn't matter how much healthy you eat, doesn't matter how much you exercise, it's going to have impact sooner or later. So I do believe in trying to improve your environment at home. That's why all my training is based on in homes and even at the workplace of my clients, to teach them these simple habits that makes a big difference.
Do you have any tips you can give someone, you know, in their home that they can make it a healthier environment?
Well, I always suggest to my clients, doesn't matter what, you always can find 2x2 or 3x3 and put a Swiss bowl, a yoga mat, and a couple pair of dumbbells, and good attitude. Everything starts from attitude and willingness to make a change. And start getting out there. There's a lot of information on the internet, how to avoid chemicals, how to really eat properly, and how to focus on the most important things in life, and one of them is your health.
So you spend most of your time at the location of your client? Do you have a fitness facility yourself?
I train all my clients in the environment of their home and workplace as well.
So you bring stuff to them if they don't have it?
That's right. That's right.
It's interesting, too, because there's so little that you actually have to take with you. People think you have to go to a really big, fancy gym, and it sounds like you've kind of put that myth to bed that you can, with some basic elements, stay fit, correct?
That's correct. And, again, it takes only one big word, why.
Interesting.
And then just do it. Right. Just do it.
That's the hard part. That's why they need you, to That's make right. sure they do it.
Any healthy eating tips? Lee, I always have to ask that. What are the big foods that we should be eating besides blueberries?
Well, I always suggest to my clients, I'm not one of these trainers out there that trying to keep their clients in very tight,
restrictive
diet.
Right.
I always tell my clients at least to eat 5 to 6 times a day. Always watch your portions. Make sure that you have a good balance of PCF ratio, which is your protein, carbohydrates, and fats. Watch exactly what kind of food these carbs and protein and fats comes from. And moderation. Keep staying active. From where I'm coming from Bulgaria, and even, you know, most part of the Europe, a lot of people walking. Here, what I understood was a lot of people home, car,
right.
home.
Right.
And I always suggest take a list. I know one time is not enough. Two times is not enough either. But I always suggest to my clients, try to make a commitment to 30 to 40 minutes on a daily basis. And I think that'll make, I'm sure that'll make a big difference, because that's what all my clients have accomplished based on.
Mm-hmm. And then that 30 minutes, it doesn't have to be in a row necessarily. It can be 10 minutes here, 5 minutes.
Can be 10 minutes with 5 minutes of warm up and do a little stretch.
Right, a couple times a day.
That's right.
Anybody could fit that in.
That's right. But at the same time, it improves their overall of your body. I mean, it improves the conditions of your body, takes all the aching of your body, the chronic pain. Your body needs its own, and you just need to find a way to deliver it. It's like having house, and this house usually have 4 rooms. A normal house has 4 rooms. Well, I always tell to my clients, take the time and prioritize these rooms. Let's say we call them spiritual, mental, physical, and emotional. Well, if you take one hour and you're spending time in your spiritual room, you grow spiritually, right?
Right.
And you read and develop your entrepreneurial skills, you grow in mentally as well. But what about your physical room? A lot of people live in that on the side. Mm-hmm. But the physical room is one of the most important rooms, because it keeps everything together. Your mind functions the right way, your body functions the right way. And at the same time, you're looking great. You can handle more throughout the day, and your emotions are in place.
Right.
So once you start bringing that concept on a daily basis, and you learn about this balance in life, which I always tell my clients, look for the balance. Have a balanced life. Don't overdose certain things here and less here. Try to balance it proportionally. I think that's the key to any success out there.
Wow, those are great. Yeah, great tips. That makes me want to get up and get moving, though. We got to get out of our seats.
Well, let's go.
My tennis shoes are in the car, by the way. They are always in the trunk now. And my hula hoop, and my baseball glove, and my tennis racket.
You're ready to go.
And my bubbles to blow, you know, keeping those abdominal muscles strong with my bubble blowing.
Hey.
My approach is a little bit different. I'm all about the play factor of fitness, but
that's right.
You know, it's just important to move. And
well,
it's
you are inspiration for me as well.
Yeah. Did I tell you Luke and I?
I could see.
Are old friends from a long time ago. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being our guest this morning, Luke. And we hope that people will look at your website, which has a lot of information. I know you have a newsletter as well. Can you tell people how to reach you?
Well, I do encourage all your listeners of this great radio show to visit dlelements.com. Get to that website, get all the information that you can possibly can. I do believe that this information is going to help you to enhance your personal level of excellence, which is my mission statement as well.
Excellent. Excellent. And you can figure out the why.
That's right.
And call
the
Luke.
Big why.
The big why. The big why. Lee, any final comments?
No, I'm ready. Let's go.
Excellent. Let's get busy. Let's get moving.
Let's go.
Until next week, I'm Amy Otto. And Lee, we hope you have a wonderful week. And we'll see you next week.